Welcome to Let's Talk More Confidence, a podcast dedicated to providing you the knowledge to become more confident in your wellness journey. I'm your host, Aaliyah Irvin. So let's jump into today's topic.
What's up, Confidence Squad? I don't know. I feel like I'm echoing. Maybe I am because I hear myself. So maybe that's a rhetorical. You probably won't hear the echo. I hear the echo. So let me get over that aspect of it and find out how you are doing today. What's going on? I got COVID again. It's not funny. I was actually kind of like mad about it. For many reasons. One, I was over it the first time I caught it, you know, because I did all the things that I was supposed to do. And now to get it a second time is like a slap in the face. And I feel like it's because people aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. And, you know, we are still getting consequences of people not doing what they're supposed to be doing. But that's neither here or there. My symptoms were a little different this time. I caught the chills again. So the first time I didn't get a fever. So this time I got a low-grade fever. It lasted for less than 24 hours. A lot of congestion, which in turn gave me a headache. Which, my Prolo injections, like I didn't have a headache until I got the sinus pressure headache, which is like the worst. And yeah, okay. What else has been going on? A lot. But I don't think I want to talk about it. So we're going to move along. Let's just say that I'm not doing my best. I'm not doing my worst. I'm just somewhere in the middle. And we're going to leave it at that. And when I'm ready to talk about this stuff, we will talk about this stuff. But in other news, I watched a lot of TV. But we're not going to talk about the TV that I watched while I was just laying in my bed. Feeling like, you know, I wouldn't say I was feeling like I was dying from COVID. I just haven't been that sick in a long time. I don't think I've had a fever as an adult. And I guess a low-grade fever, like, I don't even know where you categorize that. Because when my kids had low-grade fevers, like, you know, the daycare would call and say, hey, they have a low-grade fever, we can keep them, but you also could come get them. Because if they get a fever, then they have to go home, and then they can't come back. For a time period. So I would always go get them with the low grade fever, because when you knock out the low grade fever, most times you don't get a fever. But anyway, that's not where I was going with that point. The point is, I don't remember having a fever as an adult. So low grade fever. I don't know what else I was actually saying about that, about not feeling well, about being in bed, watching a lot of TV. Anyway, before I caught COVID, I watched Savage Beauty on Netflix. So good. So good. The lead, I did not write down her name. I'm horrible. Like, I didn't even write down her fictional name. And I feel like there was a time in my life I was really good at remembering names. It was before I had three children. When I had one child, I could remember people's name. Like, if you would tell me your name one to two times, I would remember it. Now, So the premise of the show, it is based in, I don't even know what part of Africa it is based in. See, like, I don't think they tell you either. But anyway, nonetheless, it is based on this company who is doing, they're doing dirty business in the beauty industry. And I won't tell you what that is in case you want to watch it, because it the how the story unfolds. But the beginning of the story shows their new face of their beauty line, and she is of darker complexion than normal. But then they show her like photo shot, and somebody made the photo lighter than her actual complexion. And so it goes like, oh, you know, we thought you were changing how you show beauty, but obviously it's just still the same. It's a good show. It takes a couple of episodes to kind of pick up on who everyone is in the family, why they're there, what's going on, but it's worth the watch. It is, okay. Anyway, I binge watched the whole season probably in like 2 days. I can't remember how many episodes there are. It's probably 8. But if you're looking for something to watch on Netflix, Savage Beauty is it. All right, so that is our check-in. We are going to dive into the dry phase and talk about what the internet is talking about. And it's talking about a lot. So if you don't know, the World Championships are coming up this weekend. Of when I'm recording this, I'm gonna do my best to try to like actually edit this and put it up on Thursday. It's today, Thursday. What's today? Wednesday. Yeah, so it won't be up by Thursday. Maybe Friday. Fingers crossed. I've decided that I'm gonna record and put it up instead of like trying to get a few together, because obviously it just doesn't work out in my favor. I was supposed to record like last week, towards the end of Friday. And then COVID happened and I was not doing that. Okay. Anyway, the World Championships in track and field are happening this weekend. And leading up to that, there's been some more Abby Steiner news in the world. Abby Steiner, she ran at University of Kentucky. She is from Columbus, Ohio. I was actually trying to think of the actual high school she went to in Columbus. I want to say it's Dublin, but I don't know for sure. I guess I have my computer and I could search. You know, she shows up in my Facebook feed a lot because, if y'all don't know, I am from Ohio. And also, not only am I from Ohio, Dublin, Ohio. Okay. I actually lived in Hilliard, Ohio, which is a suburb of Columbus, Ohio, and so is Dublin. She shows up in my Facebook feed a lot because, you know, people from Ohio love Ohio, and they love people from Ohio. They love all Ohio things. I do too, but it's not my favorite place to live. Anyway, I digress. The point is, Abby Steiner was in the news again, and it started off with, and I said again like it's a bad thing. You know, she is in the news because she is running her tail off, her butt. You know, she is blazing up and down the track, making a statement for herself. She is putting in hard work. She is doing her thing, and yeah, so that's why she's in the news. But this one wasn't as like glamorous, primarily because I think Abby feels portrayed by, she's getting her first dose of people just leaking or talking about information that may or may not be true, may or may not be true. Right? Okay, so it's speculated and it has been reported from, I wrote it down here, for Track and Field Gazette. This is where I saw it first. That it was reported by Track and Field Gazette that, now they reported this. They didn't speculate. They didn't say anything like that. They reported that Abby Steiner signed a $2 million endorsement deal with Puma. And that made the internet confrontational about it. Okay, so let's do some back end information. And the back end information is track and field athletes do not make a lot of money, period. Did I write it down? I did not write it down. I think the average salary for a track and field athlete is it's less than what I make. Okay, yeah. So the average annual salary, so about 20% of the top 10 Americans in track and field make over 50K annually. This is from sportsmanagementdegreehub.com. I don't even know if that's like legit, but track and field athletes do not make a lot of money. If you follow any track and field athletes that talk about salaries, it's not a lot. So less than 15K annually is what about 50% of track and field athletes make. And then another says the average salary of a professional track and field athlete is about $71,000. So they make their money from their endorsement deals. This is where their money comes. They get prize money for placing, and the prize money is small amount of money. So when it comes out that Abby Snyder is making $2 million an endorsement deal from Puma, the internet explodes. And I'm gonna tell you why. Because one, it seems to be a lot of money for someone who is just coming out of the NCAA. It is a lot of money for someone who is coming out the NCAA. So the comment section, you know, some people are cheering for amazing. That is great. That is, you know, that's what she deserves. You know, one person wrote like, good for her. She puts in the work, is humble, and a great face for track and field. Which is so passive aggressive. But anyway, and I know this name too, but I hope there are many more champions and medals in her future and many more opportunities like this for her. So if you're not reading between the lines, the humble is a stab at Sha'Carri Richardson. A great face for the sport is, you know, because she is non-melanated. But anyway, you know, some people are like, thank goodness she did not settle for Nike. A lot of people hate Nike. Someone else wrote, she is an awesome athlete and deserves every bit of it. By the way, I am Jamaican. It has never been about a country war. We simply respect athletes who can produce results and back up their statements. So, and the other news is, someone else wrote, I am very happy for her, but look at a thing Mew, an Olympic champion, and didn't even get an offer. Maybe if a thing was white, she would have gotten an offer like Abby. Oh, that is not what that says. Maybe if a thing was white, she would have an offer like that. Abby haven't won any championship medals or anything as of yet. I hope she can deliver. What about Sydney and so many other people? Shaking my head, but that is the USA for you. Racism ain't going nowhere. So a lot of people felt like it wasn't about race. They felt like she is merited on her own talent to get this endorsement deal. But then Abby had her own words to say about the report. And this was on Abby's Twitter account. So she says, I have been subjected to a few different social media narratives this year. I have not been following her that long, so I have no idea what she's talking about. Just because I don't speak on it doesn't mean I don't see it. I work very hard on my mental health with the sport of track and field, and I'm very proud of my progress I've made. However, people trying to leak my deal and contract have been some of the most invasive and bothersome narratives I have seen. This information is between my sponsor and me. Any source outside of that is simply speculation, because contract deals are confidential unless somebody divulges that information, which, you know, it could have been leaked. Somebody could have, like, leaked it to the public. That's not here or there. But anyway, I'm not saying that's what happened, because Abby is saying that is simply speculation. As a reporter, it is your job to fact check. As a consumer of news on social media, it's also your responsibility to fact check. It is common knowledge that contracts are not public. My income is not on public record, nor should it be reported as such. Any reporter should know this, and reporting otherwise is extremely harmful in a time period of life that is already stressful. Please keep in mind that athletes are human. We are worth more than being used in attempts to gain social media likes. A simple DM to me could have prevented false narratives in our track community. As reporters, former athletes, and coaches, you should understand the pressure athletes face. I urge you to be mindful of this for the next athlete. So that is what Abby wrote on her Twitter. But, you know, what she is saying is correct. Like, have a source and make sure that source is actually telling the truth. This big firestorm comes around. It talks about race, and somebody says something about, it's not about race. It's about her being marketable. Yes, that is true. But when it comes to being marketable, race is included in that context. Because when you talk about marketability, you talk about who is Abby Steiner going to appeal to. Basically, when you are using a marketing strategy, you're going to use your SWOT analogy. So strength, weakness, opportunities, and threats. So when you think about Puma and their strength, even when you see Puma, like, what is the first thing that pops off in your mind when you see Puma? And if you didn't say Jamaicans, then I don't know what else you're thinking about. Puma is their sponsor for their uniforms. And so when you think of Puma, that's who you think of. So that, you know, that is their strength. So weakness, opportunity, and threats. When you think of the USA and in forms of track and field and their sponsor, it is Nike, Polo for the Olympics. So what is their opportunity to enter the US market? The next new athlete that is entering the scene that is on fire is Abby Steiner. And it just so happens that she is white. So that is a market to tap into. So when somebody says it has to do with marketability, it has nothing to do with race. Everything has to do with race. Race is a social construct. We made it up. So we made it up to mean something. We didn't make it up and say, oh, let's just like get rid of it. No. It's here to stay. So when people say, like, I don't see color and those kind of things, it's kind of like ridiculous and offensive, because it is a thing. People made it a thing to be a thing. And now it's a thing and it's not going anywhere. You can try to gaslight and talk about other things and try to say politically correct words or talk about it in a roundabout way, but at the end of the day, it is still the same thing. So Puma has an opportunity to tap into a market that it hasn't really tapped into. I think Pandemi, I hope I said her last name right, the woman from Oregon, also white, they sponsor her. I did not know that. Pandini is, she was amazing. Like, I started watching her when she ran track and field for Oregon. she is not getting the buzz like Abby is, in my opinion. I don't want to say two different generations, but two different generations of especially where social media marketing is now at this time. But anyway, I digress off of that topic. The other thing I do want to talk about is the World Championship flyer. The issue is most time when you see posters of track and field athletes, the fastest, the reigning champion is in the middle. And so they have this Queens of the Bend flyer for the World Championships, and Abby Steiner is in the middle. And they said Jamaicans were upset. Now, sure. The issue is that Shadrika Jackson, her personal best is 21.55. Elaine Thomas Hearn, 21.53. Abby Steiner, 21.77. Now, you're probably like, oh, that's close. Like, it's only within a couple of tenths of each other. Listen, track and field tenths are a lot. It is just weird that Abby is in the middle because she's not the fastest. Elaine should be in the fastest. I mean, in the middle because she is the fastest. Now, I went through Twitter or whatever, and, you know, Michael Johnson said something about it's just aesthetics of the poster of why she should be in the middle. Maybe it's because, like, the World Championships is here in the United States. You can say whatever you want to. She shouldn't be in the middle. I'm not even a Jamaican track and field fan. I am a USA track and field fan for what it's worth. She should not be in the middle because she is not the fastest. And that's what it boils down to. Even in track etiquette or track history, the fastest people are in the middle. But the fastest person is in the middle lane. So when you like go from lane one down to eight or nine, depending on how big the track is, typically it's 1 through 8. And then you have your fastest in 4, 5, and 6. Your fastest is going to be in lane 5. Not 4, sometimes 4. Because, you know, times could be like neck and neck, but still. Typically, you see your winner out of lane 5. So anyway, one of my friends in her stories, she is Jamaican, by the way. I'm just going to fully disclose this. She said, why on earth is Abby Steiner in the middle of the Olympian championship at Fastlane Elaine and Shadrika Jackson, who has the fastest 200 meter time in the world this year? Who put the slowest athlete in the middle? Your bias is showing. And please don't tell me this was done for artistic reasons. It is bias. She is the slowest athlete. Anyone who has any credibility in track and field. That's why I don't know why my Michael Johnson said it wasn't about that. It is definitely about that. Because how can you explain it any other way? Like, even looking at the poster, as someone who feels like she has some creativity, artsy fartsy bones in her body, Elaine should be in the middle. And this is not about Abby, because Abby didn't make the poster. This is about whoever made the poster and whoever looked over the poster and was like, yeah, let's go with that. Let's put the slowest athlete in the middle. And sure, you can say it's here in the state at home. Like, because that is the news that has been happening. But she's on the poster. So what happens if she wasn't even in the top three? Would she still be on the poster? That is the question. Because the posters that were coming out were showing, like, the top three athletes in each event. And I didn't see all of them. Okay. That is my rant. She shouldn't be in the middle. She should either be on the left or the right, but not the middle. It is highly biased that she's in the middle. And you can't really explain it away. Because if you're going by track and field standards, the fastest athlete is in the middle. And that's the way it goes. All right, so today we are going to talk about more track and field. While I was bored having COVID, I asked people to ask me a question. And you know what? Thank you. Thank you all for whoever answered. Thank you all for whoever asked me questions. Because let me tell you, y'all, the internet is not like a safe space. It can be if you curate it to be a safe space, but most of the time it's not. Most of the times y'all choose violence, and it's very apparent, because I have friends who have like way more people who engage with their content, and they say, hey, ask me a question, and people don't ask them questions. And I get it. I mean, I like pop through. Sometimes I have questions, sometimes I don't. But y'all showed up. Y'all asked me some questions. So thank you. I appreciate it. Y'all warmed my little fuzzy little heart and kept me entertained, because I was in the room by myself because no one else got COVID except for me. So that's a good thing. It was a good thing. Okay. So more in track and field. So one of the questions that I did get was, how does a beginner prep for their first track workout? So that's what we're going to talk about today. So if you don't know, I have been running track and field competitively since I was 11. Like before that, I was just running up and down the street, like racing my brother, racing anybody in the neighborhood who thought they could beat me, who wanted some smoke. They got some smoke because I was fast. I was just fast as a kid. But you know, the biggest thing that I took away from all these things when I was running that young is that it was fun. And I remember quitting. I did that a lot in high school. We'll talk about that later. But, I remember it was AAU summertime. I ran the 400 and I was so fast in the 400 and one meet, I just did not want to run it. Like, they were like, oh, actually, this is what happened. I heard some of the coaches. Now, they weren't, like, real coaches. I ran AAU track, but I also ran for my summer rec league. And so they were like, oh, Leah's so fast, let's put her in the 400 so we could just, like, win. And that would be, like, whatever more points for us. And I was mad because I didn't run a 400. So I ran slow on purpose. I got second place. But at that point in time, somebody else didn't make it fun for me. So the first piece of advice is have fun. Go out there, have fun. Don't take it too seriously, because once you start taking it seriously, overthinking, overanalyzing, it becomes hard, it becomes boring, it becomes hard. And when you start doing all the extra, like overthinking what your workout should be like, having all these expectations of how fast you should be running, how many 400s you should be able to complete in a workout, that is when injury happens. So if you keep it fun, if you get rid of the expectations of what your workout should look like, you'll come out on top already. And so that starts before you even get to the track. Like, don't even show up to the track if you don't think that workout is going to be fun. My definition of fun might be different than your definition of fun. It could be hard and fun at the same time. They don't have to be one or the other. I think doing hard stuff is fun. But if you don't think like me, it can be hard and it could be fun. Okay? Okay. So sometimes track is just not the thing that makes everybody happy, right? Like I said, I run track, but I'm not a track and field fan. I hate watching meets. Meets are long. They are boring because they're long. It doesn't have to be your favorite sport to watch or even to do. I mean, I like doing track and field, but the benefit of doing track workouts overweighs any other con of not. And then one of the things that you should know is the distance of the track that you're going to. So most standard outdoor tracks are 400 meters long. That means four times around is a mile. Most indoor tracks, standard indoor tracks, are 200 meters. This is where you would see somebody doing like actual racing. So when I say standard, that means they're having track and field meets there at this place. Most of your middle schools and high schools will have a standard outdoor track that you can use. Most colleges will have a standard indoor track. I do not know of too many high schools that have an indoor track. We had an indoor track at some of our high schools. I don't even know if those high schools are still like standing. They were not standard indoor tracks. We didn't even have a indoor track when I went to school. They have one now. They no longer have an out. No, they have an outdoor track. Let me tell you what Youngstown State did. We came in, we won all these championships. We had to drive all the way to Kent to practice on their track. They don't have a standard indoor track. They actually have a 300 meter track, which is rare, but it's great because less turns, better times. But anywho, we would drive the 45 minutes to Kent to practice. On the days that we didn't drive to camp, we had to roll out these mats to practice in our indoor gym and then roll them back up. And then what they did was they got rid of the outdoor track and made an indoor facility that had a track, like turf where football could practice indoors if they needed to, baseball, golf. It is an amazing facility. And it was all raised privately funded. It was privately funded, which is amazing for a state college. And then they end up getting a new outdoor track, maybe some years later. Okay. Knowing the distance is important because you don't want to get to a track and think you're doing one thing and it's not that thing. Also find out the hours of the facility that you're using. So like I said, most high school and middle schools have tracks. However, like high schools, some of those facilities might be used for sports during different times of the year. So in the fall is cross country season, so the track might be open. But it is also soccer season, and most of the infield space might be used by soccer. It could also be used by football. So the track might not be open for you to use. So some places have their calendars online where you can see it. Also, during the school year, you're not allowed on school property. So like I used to do a lot of my track workouts in the morning before school took place. Because after school, obviously, it's harder to get on the track unless it's summertime. But then again, you know, I used the middle school track, so there wasn't like football or soccer to worry about. So getting that information is also very beneficial. Before your workouts, you want to make sure that you hydrate correctly. You want to eat in order to complete a strenuous workout. And you also want to kind of like scan your body. How are you feeling in your body? How are your muscles feeling? Because you don't want to go with achy muscles to do a speed workout. That is a recipe for disaster. And then you want to make sure that you use the bathroom before you go to the track, because unless there's a bathroom close, most facilities, especially like in the summertime, they lock their bathroom facilities, so you might not have easy access to go to the bathroom. That's just an FYI. But then also, when you go to your workout, make sure you bring a water bottle, because the water fountain probably will not be working if they lock their bathroom facilities. And then you also want to make sure that you bring whatever nutrition that you take on your, like, typical long runs, because you would want to eat during these speed workouts. Also, like, if you have a friend or two, like, cozy on up and bring them. Find a run group that's doing speed workouts, or hire a coach, because you will want that extra motivation on that track. Trust me, unless you have a strong mental game. Otherwise, find a friend. The question that comes to mind is, like, so I'm reading, like, getting notes together for this podcast, and then, like, it also says, like, bring a friend to push you out of your comfort zone. And the question is, should you be pushed out of your comfort zone, especially in the beginning? And my answer to you is, it depends. It depends on, are you going to come back once you get the after effects of your first speed workout? Running fast is hard on your hamstrings, quads, hip flexors, calves, feet. Like, it's not running an easy mile. You're not going to feel the same after doing an easy run. So I would suggest easing into the speed workout. So if you're starting to get tired, if you're starting to feel uncomfortable, cool down, call it a day, come back and push a little harder the next time. You will eventually get to a place where you can push out of that comfort zone, but then you are going to get a feeling of what your body is going to start experiencing, instead of, like, jumping off the deep end and then trying to take 4 or 5 days to recover. I think that is a common misconception of, yes, this is my first workout, I know what it feels like to push myself out of the comfort zone, so I'm going to keep going. A lot of people do that when they strength train. They're like, yes, I'm going to keep getting the heavier weights. And then when they sit on the toilet, it is struggle to get on the toilet, and it is an equal or more struggle to get off the toilet. And then they're like, I'm never lifting again. Let's not do that. That's like, oh, it kind of hurts to get off on the toilet. Oh, it kind of hurts to get off the toilet. You're getting a sensory of what your body's going to start feeling like. But then you are going to start adapting better habits, like, oh, cooling down better, recovering on purpose with intention. Afterwards, you're fueling better. You're starting to get more information on how to properly train and how to properly warm up and cool down, and your body's not going to feel as sore, and it's not going to feel like somebody took a bat to your legs and beat you up really badly, and then you're questioning your whole life decision on why I did a track workout in the first place. And by the time you decide to do it again, it's several weeks and you're going to fall into the same spell, and so you get nowhere. So my answer is, it depends. If you're going to show up again, then sure, push yourself out your comfort zone. If not, ease into it. The track's not going anywhere. The next question is, should endurance runners use track workouts? And yes, silly, you should. Everyone should. I think it's great. So you're probably thinking, like, why do I need, like, recruit 400s? Like, that's silly. I'm training for a half marathon. Why would 400s, one time around the track, work well for me when I have to run 13.1 miles? But if you look at your training plan and you see, like, oh, you know, I'm doing 4 miles here and 5 miles here, let me break it down for you. Say your workout calls for 6 400-meter repeats. That's a mile and a half. Your warm-up, you say, hey, I'm running a mile. Then you're going to do some drills, running drills, and that takes up about a half a mile. And then after you get done with your workout, you're going to do some stride outs, and that's another half a mile. And then you're going to cool down, you're going to run 1 to 2 miles. Your workout is now 4.5 to 5.5 miles. See, you got your distance in, and all you had to do was run some 400 repeat. So let's talk about performing an adequate warm-up. So your warm-up can basically be a light and easy jog. I would run from like my house or a friend's house to the track, and it was about a mile and a half away from my house. Most people like this as like, so I like running in circles. It does not bother me at all. My best friend, Amber, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the other one. She did not like running around circles. So when we would go to the track, she did not want to warm up there. She did not want to run a mile and a half in circles. She preferred to run from somewhere to the track. She hated running in circles, where I'm like, I could do whatever. If you're someone who's like, the track is boring, run to the track. Or park at the track. We used to do this too. Park at the track. Run from the track out, you know, a certain distance, half a mile, 0.75, and then come back to get your warm up. And then from there, I would do some running form drills. High knees, A skip, B skip, lunges, lateral lunges, butt kicks. This gets your body ready for actually running in a sprint motion. So your middle distance run is not going to look the same as your 400 meter, your shorter distance run. So you want to start prepping your body for, you know, that higher acceleration that you're going to get from doing these speed workouts. Also, I want to talk about butt kicks real quick. The common way to do a butt kick is you're going to take your heel to your butt by kicking backwards. So that's great for like lengthening out the quads, but it's not functional to runners. So instead, you want to lift the knee slightly, not as high as a high knee, but halfway. And then you want to tap the heel to the edge of your butt cuff. That way, it is actually more functional to running. Now, I'm not saying do one version over the other. They both have their purposes. But for runners, option B is more functional than option A. Now that you're all warmed up, you're going to scan your body and see, are you really warmed up? Like, are your hamstrings ready to go? Or do they still feel tight? Because you don't want any tightness when you're about to go put this fire down on this track. That's all I'm saying. Now, when you're doing your sprint workouts, it can be done at like a 5K pace, a 10K pace. And when I say that, it's like, okay, so you're going to do 6 400s and 3 of them are going to be at a 10K pace. And then your next 3 is going to be at a 5K pace. And that means whatever your mileage pace is for a 5K. So if you're trying to run, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, 24 minutes, then maybe your 5K pace is like a high 7, low 8. Am I right? I don't know paces off the top of my head. Sorry, I'm going to get there one day. And then when you talk about, or you could do it as far as effort. So you're going to give yourself 80% effort or 75% effort. If you're thinking about doing like full out sprints, making sure that you're giving yourself, your body enough time to recover. And honestly, that's in between any amount of sprints that you're doing. You want to make sure that you're fully recovered before you do the next one. And how do you recover? So if you're not doing full out sprints, you could do an active recovery. You can jog, you can walk, you can also do what is called a static rest. You know, this is standing, you can sit. And actually, when I went to my track and field certification, a coach said, whatever my athlete needs to do to recover, they need to sit down, take the shoes off. I don't care. But they get 20 minutes to recover before their next full sprint. And then they just have to warm up within that 20 minutes. And that's kind of like what a track meet is really like. Like, I would go do the 100 hurdles, and then I would have a 4x1, and then I would have a long, long break. So warm up, do the 100, and then get right back in line for the 100 hurdles. And then I would have a short break. So I might go do some stride outs or whatever, get ready for the 4x1. And then I would go sit down somewhere, take my shoes off, eat, hydrate, stay out in the sun. And then I would have to warm up all over again for the 4x4 or whatever I was running later in the day. So it can be done. You can recover in any way you feel comfortable. I do not like jogging in between stuff. So during your workout, make sure you're sipping water, make sure you're eating nutrition as needed. And if you need recommendations on how to fuel, listen to episode 5. This is in season 1 on how to fuel during running. There is no difference between fueling for a long run as there is in a track workout. It's all time based on how much you are depleting your system. So go back and listen to the episode. It'd be helpful. And then after you're finished with your workout, make sure you do a proper cool down if you're feeling up to it. So like if you don't have like a very strenuous workout with a lot of repetitions of speed work, then you could do a few stride outs. And then your strides can be anywhere between 50 to 100 meters. This just helps, like, again, adapt your form, lengthen out through your posterior chain. And then you would take an easy jog of, again, a mile and a half, whatever you want to do. And I shouldn't say want to. Whatever your workout calls for. Look for a legitimate training plan. I am working on how to actually create a training plan. That is something I am not comfortable with yet. I am comfortable editing training plans. I have done that, meaning I go look for a training plan and then edit it to what is more suitable for me. But I have never came up with something from scratch. But I am working. That is my plan, to get more information on how to create these training plans and put something together. Get a training plan from a reliable source or coach. But back to the cool down. After you finish your easy jog, stretch, mobility, stretch all your major muscle groups. Just stretch. Okay. All right. That was our run. So we're coming to the finish and we're just going to like recap what we talked about today. So we talked about the world championships was are happening this weekend. Watch them. Don't watch them. I don't care. I understand if you don't. Track is not my favorite thing to watch in its entirety. We talked about Abby Steiner and her speculated endorsement deal. We don't know what that girl's making, and good for her, whatever she's making. She negotiated her money. We just need to learn how to ask for our money too. But also, everything is about race. Stop saying it's not. It is everything. But getting ready for your track workout, making sure it's fun, making sure you're letting go of expectations. And if you're going to complete a workout, just because your paper says you have 6 400s doesn't mean you're going to show up and finish 6 400s. If your hamstring gets tight after 4, it is time to pack it in and go home, which means cool your butt down and take your butt home. It's okay not to do 6 just because the paper says 6. But don't go there and be like, I can do 10, so I'm going to do 10, because that's also silly. Know the distance of your track, know the times that your track is free, know what facilities are going to be available at your track. Take a friend, find a coach, hire a coach. Do not push through your comfort zone if you're not going to show up to finish. Don't push through your comfort zone if you're not going to show up and continue working out because you got too sore. Don't jump off the deep end when it goes to these track workouts. Dip your toe in and build your strength up for these speed workouts. Also, everybody needs speed workouts. The mileage put together will get you a good chunk of mileage. So don't think of it as it, hey, I'm going to go do 6 400s, making sure you're warming up properly, doing the correct drills, and what else? Making sure you're warming up properly, doing the correct drills, you're scanning your body to make sure you're fully warmed up. Your workout is going to be done by some type of time system, meaning either your 5K pace, 10K pace, or effort. You want to make sure that you're recovering properly in between each repetition on the track. And then you want to make sure that you're still drinking water, getting your nutrition as needed. And then afterwards, you are cooling down so you can show up the next day. And that's all I have for you today for track and field. Whoop, whoop. I have no idea what we're talking about on the next episode. Just roll with me. I am making it happen, Captain. And we will see you the next time, Confidence Squad.
Thank you for listening to Let's Talk More Confidence. If you enjoyed today's podcast, subscribe, rate, and review. And don't forget to share with your friends. Let's keep in touch. Visit my website, AaliyahIrvin.com, or find me at the gram at Confident Aaliyah. Remember, confidence is a state of being. Until the next time.